grace, mercy, and peace.
Amen.
So last week, my good friend Eric Samuelson, the campus minister at Trinity Lutheran College in Everett, was here. And I have heard good things about his time here. He's actually on my list right now because the reason I'm holding this mic is I don't know what he did with my mic. But other than that, I'm told it went really well. And I'm glad to hear that. I'm actually not jealous, don't worry. But I heard that it went really well, and I was very, very glad to hear that. I've known Eric since mid-90s or so. We overlapped at PLU down in Tacoma. So I've known him for years, and we were in seminary together, and I overlapped with him, and I overlapped with his little brother as well. So it's known them for quite a long time. What were some of the things that you heard from him last week? Do you remember?
About Judas.
Faith,
a different way to look.
Faith, a different way to look at Judas's faith. Were any of you at the adult forum afterwards?
Yeah.
He talked there as well. And I understand he said a few things about different generations, the ways in which different generations relate to faith or express their faith. What'd you think about that?
I liked it.
You liked it? How'd you feel about what you heard?
It was interesting.
It was interesting. It's eye-opening. That's one of the things that I've heard people say. I was very glad that he went there, from what I've heard about his conversation with you all. You know, I know I've said this sort of thing to you before, and I know you know this, but we live in a fairly challenging time to be the church. We honestly do. It's not easy. It is not always easy at all. And there's really not a lot to be gained by pretending otherwise. There's not a lot to be gained by focusing on that too much either. But it's true. It's worth at least acknowledging. It's not always easy. It's not as simple as just putting out our sign and saying, hey, we're here, we're open. Come on by. Be nice if it was sometimes. Make my life easier. I cannot tell you how much time I spend thinking about that sort of stuff. You know, my nervous energy, my little need to fidget so much, like I'm doing right now. I think it's where some of that comes from. It's thinking about that stuff. There are loud voices in society today, loud voices inside and outside of the church. Voices oftentimes louder than ours. Voices making claims about Christ. Making claims about God, making claims about faith itself. Claims we may not always agree with. The relevancy of organized religion gets questioned. You run into that all the time if you spend any time online, which I know some of you don't, and I envy you for that. We cannot assume that just being here is enough. And that's frustrating. That can be very scary. I think about that sometimes even myself. I think back to my youth and even what things looked like for me, even in the 80s. Pastor Chris is 36, there's your reminder. But even for me back in the 80s, and I think about what that looked like, and I worry. I do that sometimes. I worry. You ever do that? I'm gonna take those little nervous laughs and the nods as an agreement. Yes, Pastor Chris, I do worry about that stuff sometimes. I worry. I look at my kids. Like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten you guys into? I look at Sarah. Oh, I'm so sorry, honey. What was I, a social worker when we met, I think? Yeah. I think about that stuff. But then I remind myself something important. It's not easy. So what? So what? So it's not easy. Most things in life aren't easy. So what? So there are challenges out there. There are all sorts of challenges in life. Never stopped us from getting anything done before. Why should this be any different? Did you hear any of that gospel reading today? I hope so, because it was just a couple minutes ago. If you were to name that, what would you call that little story? It's not a trick question.
Trial.
Jesus' trial.
Denial.
The denial. Peter's denial of Christ. Does that sound like a pretty good name for it? Show of hands. Does that name work? What does Peter actually deny in that story? Bingo. He doesn't deny whether or not he knows Jesus. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that's what he's asked. Do you know this man? I do not. He denies knowing him. But today in John, what is the question? Are you a disciple? Are you one of this man's disciples? And he says, I am not. Very straightforward. Are you a disciple of this man? No, I am not. Do you know him? Not relevant. We all know plenty of people in life. We know some of them well. We know some of them less well. Some of them we're happy that we know them. We're proud of those connections. Other ones we just as soon not admit to. Are you a disciple of this man? I am not. What is a disciple? A follower. A disciple is a follower, a student. Literally, a disciple is someone who accepts the teaching of another and spreads it, passes it on. Who takes that teaching from someone else, thinks about it, says, yes, I agree with this, and I'm going to spread this further. I'm going to make sure that this carries on, that this goes beyond me, that this goes beyond my teacher, the one who I follow, the one I am a disciple of. Is Peter a disciple? Of course he's a disciple. It's Peter. Hey, he's a disciple. We have the entire story of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, not to mention the early church. I'm pretty sure the Roman Catholic Church would argue, yes, he's a disciple. Of course he's a disciple. So why does he deny it? Again, duh, he was scared. It's not a trick question. Why does he deny it? He was scared. He was saving his own skin. But we know as people who have heard this story that that's not the end of it for Peter. We know that he doesn't just deny Jesus three times and that's it for him. We know that he doesn't say, I am not a disciple, and then at that moment say, hey, you know what? I'm not a disciple, actually. I'm done. I'm walking away. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier. He doesn't do that at all. He says, I am not. I am not. No, I am not. You know what? Actually, yeah, I am. You know? He goes forward. He stumbled. He was weak. He was human. But he carried on. He continued to live out his faith. He continued to live and preach and teach and spread that which he had heard, that which he had accepted. The story of new life and new hope found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sure, he has this moment. He has this moment where he says, no, I am not a disciple. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus says, I have said nothing in secret. I have never denied who I am or what I teach. You want to know my message? You want to know what I am about? You want to know what I have said, what I have passed on? Don't ask me. Ask those who heard what it is that I said to them. Ask my disciples. Ask those who heard, who accepted, and who spread that word. They know what I said. They know what I said. That's what Jesus says today. Ask them. They know what I said. He said a lot. Let's be honest. He says a lot. If you have one of those Bibles, the red letter ones, where everything that Jesus says is red, there's a lot of red in there. But if we go to the core of what he said, if we go to the heart of it, if we peel back the layers and we think about what is it that he said, what is it that he's passing on to his disciples? I've told you this before. I always come back to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Go into the world making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you to the end of the age. And what does he command? The greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he spread. That's what he passed on. Last week, I was honored to help out with a funeral in this room. It happens. I could do a little dance to that right now. It's a good beat. It was a funeral that we had in here for a young man from Aaron's Place. Vishal was about 25 years old. I honestly forget what his condition was. I know he was on a respirator. I know he was in a chair. I'll be honest, I think it was a really fast progression of CP. I think that's what it was, Judy. About 25 years old. Originally from India. His parents adopted him, I believe it was, when he was a young man and brought him out here. I'm pretty sure that his family background was Hindu. I know the majority of the people who were here, and this place was packed. This place was packed. In fact, I need to find out how many people were here, because all of a sudden I now know what the capacity is for this room. I'm quite certain the majority of people who were here were not, quote-unquote, church people. They were not self-labeled Christians. But I also know that I had an opportunity to speak a word of faith to them, a word of hope and a word of love, a word of love made known in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I did. I talked to them at the start of the service. I talked to them at the end of it. I talked to them a little bit about what faith means to me, that God's love for us and our love for each other, our love for God, is what is most important. That Christ's message of forgiveness and hope and life is what truly matters. Each of us, each one of us in this room, every day, is given opportunities to be a disciple of Christ. To be a disciple, to be someone who accepts and spreads Jesus' teaching. Go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always to the end of the age. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes it is in big ways or small. or obvious or subtle. But I promise you that we all have opportunities to do that. And even when we fail, like Peter did today, doesn't mean it's the end of the story. Small things in coffee shops or the gym or the library, talking to grandkids or complete strangers at the bus or the senior center. Those opportunities are there constantly. And even when it is hard for us, or when it is scary for us, or when it is inconvenient for us, I promise you it's still a good deal safer than what Peter faced today. So I'm going to ask you to do something completely out of your comfort zone right now. But not that much out of your comfort zone. I'm going to ask you a question. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor, which, depending on how you're sitting, because you all spread out constantly, like throwing seeds to the wind. Turn to your neighbor, and the answer I'm hoping that you'll say is, yes, I am. But the question I have for you is this. Are you one of this man's disciples, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you one of this man's disciples, Jesus of Nazareth?
Yes, I am.
Own it. Are you one of this man's disciples?
Yes, I am.
Better. Are you one of this man's disciples?
Yes, I am.
Are you one of this man's disciples?
Yes, I am.
Good for you. Amen. Cargo. Oh, there she is.